Hello and welcome to Sketch Therapist. It's been a long time. It's Roisin here, Roisin Curé, and I am thrilled to be chatting with you again. As you know, this is indeed the podcast that improves your sketch life. So let's see what we have in store for you today. I hope you enjoy it. It's a quiet morning here in Galway. We're in the beginning of April. I can hear the typical sounds of a Galway morning outside. I can hear ravens. I can hear little songbirds. I can hear a thrush somewhere, I think. Actually, I wouldn't know a thrush, to be honest. Or a blackbird. I can hear a little dog barking. That'll be our Reuben. And I can hear the dulcet tones of a digger working his earth-moving magic in the newly broken ground of the field across the road from our home. Oh, I can hear starlings as well. It's all very lovely. We've just come through a crazy, horrible storm in which I decided that really the joke just wasn't funny anymore because it's been so cold. My dear husband, who's a meteorological file, he loves weather, all things weather. He told me that it's the polar vortex going the wrong way round. There you go. That's why it's been so cold in Ireland. It really should be warmer by now. But, you know, time is a marching on and it will be warmer. The fields are full of dandelions. The roadside is littered with dandelions. Actually, something strange happened to me yesterday. Things have changed for me and my sketching a lot over the last while. Everything's changed. I think I know why, but I'll see if I can put it into words. So every single year without fail, I think, dandelions, I wish I could draw them. And every single year I give them another go, and with greater or lesser degrees of success. But as I looked at the beautiful dandelions yesterday, I felt a calm, a peace, and no desire whatsoever to sketch them. I just enjoyed them. I think this is peak sketching, when you've actually sketched everything and you don't need to sketch anything anymore. I think that's peak sketching. Yeah. Kind of like, I don't know, a master of tea ceremonies doesn't make tea anymore. He just sort of sits and looks at the cup of tea. I don't know. Anyway, it's a good feeling. It's a calm feeling. And it certainly doesn't mean that I'm not sketching like a loony these days, because I am. Let me tell you what's changed. Okay. On a very practical level, I don't use an A5 sketchbook these days. I've gone down a notch. I use an A6 sketchbook. So it's got a lot smaller, but it's also got a lot fatter because the paper I'm using has changed too. So I have been an aficionado of the Hanamula 200 gram watercolour sketchbook for a long number of years. I think I first discovered it in 2017. And I was always using an A4 sketchbook. And then for some reason I went down to an A5. I can't remember why. And then I used lots of A5 sketchbooks. And now I have about 22 filled up A5 sketchbooks on one of my bookshelves of sketchbooks, of which there are three. So it represents about a third of my sketchbooks that I filled in the last 10 years. My A5 sketchbooks. And then when I was at the Rendezvous Carnet de Voyage in Clermont-Ferrand about a year and a half ago for the first time. No, second time. Never mind. I was there anyway in 22 and I discovered the Hanamula 250 gram 100% cotton sketchbooks. And I bought an A6 one and I bought an A4 one in portrait format. And the A4 one in portrait format, even though I longed for exactly that book for the longest time, I wanted an A4 portrait book. Do you know, I haven't drawn it at all. I don't think I've even broken ground, like the digger driver across the road. I don't think I've even broken ground in the A4. Very expensive it was too. Over 40 euros. But the A6 sketchbook, they didn't have any A5 or I would have bought one. The A6 sketchbook had beckoned to me because it was so dinky. So whilst I went smaller with the A5 to an A6, I went fatter because the A6 being the 250 gram paper being a heavier weight of paper, it does make a considerable difference, even though it's only a quarter bigger in each page. You know what I'm getting at. It does make the little book a lot fatter. So it's very dinky. It's very chunky. It's a very chunky, pleasant little book. And it's lovely to paint on. It's a quarter nicer than the 200 gram. It's a quarter nicer. There's something about the 100% cotton surface that I really like. So yes, it is a little bit of an indulgence because you can get by just as well with the considerably less expensive A6 200 gram sketchbook, which is not a quarter cheaper. It's 50% cheaper. Now, there you go. It's not 25% cheaper. Okay, I'm getting my maths mixed up now because I'm not sure how the percentages work out. But it's definitely half the price, a little bit over half the price of the 250 gram. And that is my sketchbook of choice these days. And what's lovely about the A6 is that I can make a really full and detailed sketch with, obviously, half the time. God, our physics are on fire today. Our maths are on fire. Half the time it takes to fill in an A5 sketchbook. And it's a funny thing. Shouldn't be a coincidence, because I'm forever telling people that if they feel their sketch doesn't quite look as nice as they would have liked, it's probably because they haven't worked on it enough. They probably haven't applied enough watercolour. They probably haven't filled in all the values the way they might have done. They probably haven't, I don't know, tweaked it and made the darks darker and maybe added a bit of white gel pen. In other words, they haven't fiddled with it enough. I know we have a thing in art of don't over fiddle with it, but that's different. This is not finishing it properly. So you do have to keep going. And there's a good chance you're going to run out of time when you sketch from life, as you know. But the smaller the page, well, the more you're going to get done in the time, right? So when I look back through my A6 sketchbooks, well, I think the sketches are a little bit lovelier. And yes, there is a payoff. There is a payoff. You do get frustrated sometimes that you can't fit X, Y, and Z in. But, you know, it's okay. Just turn the page, start another one, maybe a little bit over to the left or the right or above or below. And because I'm a sort of sketcher who takes my little sketchbook everywhere, it means that I can more easily sketch in an airport or a cafe or on a train or on a plane. So yeah, I'm loving the A6. And I know some people aren't quite ready to downsize yet, but I'm loving my downsizing. And when I wondered this morning before doing my little podcast recording, I wondered what I could tell you about sketching. I said to myself, do you know what? Just leaf back through your current sketchbook, which has only got one page left, and you'll be able to see what you've been doing. And that's the beautiful thing about keeping a little sketched journal. You flick back through the pages and you see your life unfolding. And it's a lovely way to remember what you've been up to. It really is. It's a wonderful way to remember what you've been up to. And as I look back through my sketchbook, I see my animal illustrations, animals cooking recipes. I see my husband having a semi-snooze on the sofa. That was after we had been out for a long overdue night out. Actually, that's not the whole truth. The truth was that I wanted to sketch in the local Italian restaurant that I love, Trattoria in Galway City. And because I have to finish the last drawings for my second edition of Galway in Sketches and Stories. I think that's what we're calling it now. I think we've changed the name. Anyway, we came home and I didn't sketch when we were there because I realised that it wasn't going to happen. We were having a nice night out. My husband was blocking my view anyway. So I just concentrated on having a nice time and it was lovely. But when I got home, I decided, oh, I really need to do some sketching. I missed my chance and now I want to do some sketching. I said, darling, do you mind if I sketch you while you're watching TV? He said, no, I don't mind. Go ahead, I suppose. So I did. And As I took out my paints, I realised I'd only brought my very limited selection of five colours, so I couldn't have done Trattoria in all its beauty and justice anyway. So there you go. I have a picture of husband sitting on the sofa. And then I have a painting of some sushi, which we did in class. That was a lot of fun. Then I have a portrait of my youngest, my Livy, holding the dog on her lap. I love that drawing. She'd been asking me to sketch her and over the weekend that she was here. Last weekend, if that's what it was. I think it was last weekend. Yes, it was. And it was Easter. We hadn't got round to it because we did a binge fest of Selling Sunset. Fabulous show. Now I have to say, one of my dear students recommended or suggested, I'm not going to say recommended because that's a big word. She suggested I give Real Housewives a try. And I don't know, maybe it's because I was on my own watching it and I wasn't there with Livy to laugh and to point. But I couldn't take it. I had to turn it off. Anyway, going back further through my little book, I've got another animal recipe. I've got a beautiful redhead, this gorgeous girl, stunning girl from Wales called Madeline. She came over to photograph and document redheads. Now, I've always considered myself a redhead because I suffered the slings and arrows of nasty, jealous little girls and boys in my class when I was a little girl. And they said, they called me names like, well, there was an English girl in the class and she was very quick with the insults. Fire, fire engine, reds. What else did she call me? I only remember fire. Maybe it was her accent that stuck with me so much. But fire is a lovely way to describe someone, but I didn't think so at the time as a 10-year-old. But, you know, even though Maddie came over and photographed me with all my lovely red hair, I think maybe my hair isn't so red anymore. It's kind of going a bit white, dare I say. But there you go. Like I said, time marches on. Anyway, going back through the book. Oh yeah, she photographed me and I sketched her on the promenade at the Black Rock Diving Tower in Salt Hill. Now, my second attempt at drawing her came out really well. My first attempt didn't, so I had to draw on top of that aborted drawing. And I put some girls in a cafe and one of them was complaining about her. I don't know who it was. It might have been her sister. It might have been her friend. It might have been her roommate. And her sister's name, stroke roommate, stroke friend, was called Saoirse. And poor Saoirse got the most almighty roasting by this young girl. Saoirse doesn't know the value of money, it turns out. And Saoirse spends too much money on frivolous things and she doesn't put her weight. What else did I write? She said, so I said to her, oh my God, if you think I'm paying for that, maybe it's her sister. So I said, don't get a new phone. Bill pays a rip off. That's another thing she said. She'll never get a mortgage. Poor Saoirse. I paid a fortune. And then the two girls she was talking with, they were being very supportive. And one of them said, she's obviously got something else going on. That's the classic passive-aggressive girl thing to say because you want to be mean, but you also don't want to look like you're being mean. So you act like you're concerned that maybe she's got some issues, you know, like, you okay, hon, that kind of thing. Anyway, the other girl's going, oh my God, what? So I very much enjoyed writing their little speeches down as they sat in the window and the light shone across their black clad bodies. They all had black coats and black leggings and black sweatshirts and hoodies and so on. So that was nice. Then going back a little bit further, we've got the beach in Bray where I was staying with my dad, Paddy Moran, for a while. And I had visited a friend of mine one morning and the sun came out and I sat on the beach and I sketched the sea. I sketched the waves crashing on the shore. And I said to myself, gosh, I should really be up with my father. It's such a beautiful day. I should really get him out into the sun and enjoy the sunshine. But I couldn't bring myself to tear myself away from the beach because it was so nice. And next thing, on the stony beach beside me, there appeared my father's dog, Babette, whom he adores. And where Babette is, my father isn't far away. And there is my dad right behind me on the promenade. And it was so lovely to see him. And I put down my sketching stuff and I joined my dad. We walked along the promenade and then we walked back up through the sunshine back to his house on the sides of Brayhead, and then the sun went down behind Brayhead, and it was lovely. And the day before that, I had sketched some charcuterie board in my father's house for class. And then I did, before that, I did Bray Promenade. I was beginning to tell you that, and then I got a tickle in my throat, and it's so long since I've recorded a podcast that I forgot that you can just cough away and then edit out the cough. So there you go. I forgot. And it's just as well, because I was going to, I don't know, go down a rabbit hole of telling you all about my sketchbook, which would be a bit dumb because it's going to be on my YouTube channel either today or tomorrow. Anytime I finish that last little drawing, might be Wednesday actually, because I have a couple of blank pages that I need to fill in before I bring it to the public. So if you haven't subscribed to my YouTube channel, I really think you ought to. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a collection of mostly random stuff, but I really enjoy putting that random stuff on. There's three kind of flavours. There's four now, actually, to the sketches, to the videos on my YouTube channel. There's the ones where I actually draw something slowly and describe what I'm doing. There are the ones where I don't talk at all and I just record a little bit of footage, sometimes speed it up, of doing things. Then there is the ones where I do a product review. So that's three flavours so far. And then the last one, oh, and then of course I do my sketchbook flick-throughs, which are always very popular, I'm happy to say. They always come with a little bit of narration. And then there's the new one I've decided to do, which is telling you a little bit about my, I suppose, my memoir. It's kind of a strange YouTube-y style memoir. And the way I do that is I go into my phone, delete all the videos that I don't need anymore, come across a video that I've made a couple of years ago sometimes of sketching something. And rather than chuck it in the delete box into the trash, I edit it, stick it up on YouTube, but I give you a little soundtrack, what's the word, voiceover, little narration of something that I think you might enjoy, like maybe a little story of my time in Mauritius, for example, where I spent 6 months and discovered sketching. Or I could tell you a sad story about how everybody in the whole wide world sent me a rejection letter, which then became a rejection email, and then became, well, I was going to say a rejection tweet, but they don't bother with that. So now they just don't even bother. They just say things like, if you don't hear from us in the next 8 weeks, you can take it that we don't like what you do. But you know what? Here's another thing that actually has changed. And this is going to neatly segue into what I want to talk to you about today. Well, another thing I want to talk to you about. It is this. All those things have changed. All those years of rejections and many more rejections. Well, they culminated in the end, I'm happy to say, with three non-rejections. Well, three books. Ruben is just galloping around the lawn outside like a prize show horse, like a tiny, tiny, white, fluffy prize show horse. He was kind of cantering. It was very, very attractive. Anyway, they culminated in three books. My first one, as you know, was An Urban Sketcher's Galway. And that was followed by Drawing Expressive People, the Urban Sketching Handbook, Drawing Expressive People. And that wasn't either rejection or acceptance, because they actually came to me, weirdly. And then the third one was Dublin and Sketches and Stories. And that one was neither rejection or acceptance either, because I'm not going to say Connor, who runs Merriam Press, who published Dublin and Sketches and Stories, I'm not going to say he approached me. It wasn't like that. My brother knew Connor and mentioned to Connor what he was doing, what I was doing. And then I think, I don't know, did I get in touch with Connor or the other way around? I don't know. But it was kind of a done deal before Connor and I ever met. Well, I thought it was. I don't know if Connor felt the same. But anyway, Dublin Sketches and Stories came out in 2021. And then in February of 23, God, I'm being a bit rambling today. In February of 2023, the second edition of Dublin and Sketches and Stories came out, and it's almost identical to the first one. And in May 2024, it's only just out. Sorry, it's only just out. And then the second edition of Galway, An Urban Sketcher's Galway, which I think we're changing to Galway and Sketches and Stories, that is coming out in May 24. And meanwhile, a very wonderful man called Michael Brennan he's publishing the second edition of Galway in Sketches and Stories, by the way. And he used to work with the first publisher of my first book. And now he's opened up his own publishing house. So that's who's doing Galway in Sketches and Stories, which is a little bit different from the first one. It's got a lot of new work in it. So it's going to be a bit different. And a good few places have closed their doors due to the pandemic and due to other things, due to just people retiring and that kind of thing. So I had to take them out for the second edition. And I have another book lined up, and this one doesn't come with a rejection or an acceptance either, because Ruben's making noises. I don't know what he's up to. This one doesn't come with a rejection or acceptance either, because it's me, moi, Roisin, who's going to do the publishing. And thanks to Michael and his contacts, I have a printer who'll produce the book. I have a designer who'll design the book. And other than that, all I need is me. And I suppose I need a market. So I hope I don't go and publish the whole book and then find that nobody's interested. Now, that could well happen. That could well happen. But I'll tell you what it's going to be. And you can let me know if you think it's a good idea. Because it's kind of weird and different and unusual. Okay, so last Christmas, I needed to make Christmas cards for a few loved ones. And I have spent a life of making Christmas cards and birthday cards and Valentine's cards and anniversary cards. Didn't make any Valentine's cards. Only made one for my husband a couple of times. Because I'd be too embarrassed. It's not because I'm too cool. It's just because I'd be too embarrassed to send anyone a Valentine's card. And neither did I get any, just so we have that cleared up. So me, Valentine's cards industry hasn't really worked out. Anyway, so all these cards later, and I still make birthday cards for my children and my loved ones. And Christmas came round and I was asked by my dear husband to make a Christmas card for his relatives in Austria. So I did. And I painted a mouse making a Gugelhupf, which is a Marmo Gugelhupf, which is, I don't know what it is. It's basically a half vanilla, half chocolate cake done in a fancy mold with a twisty pattern around the side of the mold with a hole down the middle of the mold. It's a ring mold. And I thought it'd be fun to do a little mouse making the recipe because I like drawing foolish things. I really do. You know, my art is very foolish a lot of the time. It really doesn't have anything deep or meaningful to say. It never did. Even back when I was in art college as a young, gauche 17-year-old, even then I had nothing to say. And I had to fake it. It was very embarrassing. I had to pretend. For my final piece in 86? Something like that. I had to make something deep and meaningful for my final year project. And I had nothing to say. And I was very worried because everyone else seemed to have something deep and meaningful to say in my ear. So I had come across a deer skeleton in the forest behind my home where somebody had, I don't know, poached the deer, shot it, taken its legs for venison, the usual carry on. And I'd found this skeleton and I had to pretend that I was very upset by this. And I mean, I was mildly upset on the day. No, I wasn't that upset. In fact, I was more fascinated than anything else by the skeleton. And I told my supervisors that it had upset me greatly. And they said, well, there was a very lovely tutor. She had a strong Dublin accent. And she said, well, make it. Put that into your art. And make it. You want it. They pick that and capture your feelings about how you felt about that deer. I sort of told them that it was a violation of my woods, the woods backed onto my home in the Wicklow Mountains. And so, yeah, all that time ago, I was trying to fake a deep and meaningful feeling about art. And I never really felt it. Now, funnily enough, there is a deep and meaningful thing to my art, very deep and very meaningful, which is that it saved my life. And I don't know if it gets deeper or more meaningful than that, but it did. It did. I went from an angst-ridden, melancholic woman in my 40s. There's a little bit of mental health going on there, I don't mind sharing with you. But when I picked up my sketchbook and my pens and my watercolours, it vanished into the mist Well, it took a little bit of time, but all the angst vanished into the mist, and all the depth and meaningfulness in the world came to me in that moment when I discovered sketching and I realized, yes, this is all there is. And yes, it is everything. The world, it is beautiful. My family is beautiful. Everything is beautiful. And it's all there to be captured in my sketchbook. So this particular book that I, oh yeah, so I finished the card, sent it to the relative, I still don't know to this day whether she got it or not. There you go. That's the way it goes. She's a lovely lady, but I still don't know whether I got it or not, or whether she got it or not. And there you go. That happens a lot. It wasn't the only Christmas card hand-painted I sent to relatives of my husband's that also I have no idea whether they received or not. But like I said, there you go. You send these things out and you shouldn't sit there expecting praise and thanks. It's not about you, it's about them. It's kind of a memo I didn't get. So one of them that I sent out to one of my dear friends, she was so gracious in her acceptance and she said she loved it. And that was lovely. And to be honest, no, there were. I was going to say there weren't that many people who did say online they liked it. That's not true. There was a bunch of people who really enjoyed it. And I think I did a couple of Instagram lives doing it. And that was really fun. And I was having so much fun. I was having so much fun, never mind anybody watching, that I decided that I would teach it to my students. And they, you know, I was very aware that I was indulging myself first and foremost. And as a result, I felt a little nervous the first time I did a class with my students doing one of these illustrated recipes. But I needn't have worried because they really enjoyed it. They really enjoyed it. And I got amazing feedback. Now, it definitely isn't for everybody, but the people who love it really love it. Isn't that a good way to put it? The ones who are in heart and soul. Now, my mother isn't one of them. She is a deep, meaningful person and her art is deep and meaningful. It always is. And as far as she's concerned, she can take it or leave it. She says, oh, sweet. That's it. That's the most I'm going to get from my mum. And my older brother, who is a great supporter of me and my art, he didn't say anything at all. So I guess it's not for him. So, you know, it's horses for courses. And we don't all love the same thing. I don't love Picasso. There you go. I don't love David Hockney. There you go. And by the way, you can read dislike intensely for don't love. Who don't I love? God, I could really get into my stride here. I better stop before I go on too much further. No, I don't love those people. And I don't love anything done on an iPad unless it's deliberately sort of digital. I don't like any imitation of any techniques of watercolour or oil or anything like that on iPad. Ugh. Sketches on iPads, I'm sorry, they make me want to start crying and run for the hills. So there you go. Don't love them. And wouldn't the world be a very dull place if we all loved the same thing? Isn't that what you're supposed to say after this? So whilst not everybody loves my little animals cooking stories, a lot of people do love them. So here's my idea. I want to, and the other thing I want to say to you is this. Sometimes when there's no intimidation factor involved in making a piece of art, I think the learning can sink in a bit more easily. Would you go with that? I think so. Whether it's learning, you know, playful nursery rhymes on the piano, or whether it's learning how to use ink and watercolour through pheasants cooking marmalade pudding, for example. That was one of the classes we did. A pheasant couple, a cocky cock pheasant who's kind of like full of himself, and his very grey and mundane bride, they get together and they make marmalade pudding. So, yeah, the thing about it is that in order to make these little recipes and make them look cute and nice, you need to be good at a lot of things. You need to be good at drawing because you need to make the shapes of the animals. You need to be good at lettering because you need to write things down for the recipe. You need to be good at colour coordination because you need the whole to look harmonious and not clashy. You need to be good at placement and design of images on a page because you need to fit all the ingredients in. But you need to be good at ink and watercolour This is the thing, you see. You need to understand what inks to use, what pens work best, how to draw in ink directly, or a pencil first and ink on top. You need to be able to make good, simple shapes because you're going to be painting them. And you need to be good at your watercolour. You need to handle your watercolour well. You need to follow the watercolour rules, such as waiting for each layer to dry before you paint another layer. You need to be good at your values. You need to make your areas and your colours and your shapes really stand out and pop. You need to be good at highlights. You need to be good at conserving whites. So the whole world of drawing, character design, inking and watercolours, all contained in those recipes. That's the amazing thing. And because it is fun and, you know, foolish and silly and, you know, not serious at all, you don't feel intimidated. You don't feel intimidated. You just feel a sense of, oh, good, I'm going to go and play. And by the end of it, the Trojan horse has snuck in. I wonder what recipe I could have a Trojan horse cooking. Now, there's an idea, sort of kind of a meta version. Well, I actually don't know what meta means, so I better stop that one right there. Anyway, so I've been doing these animal illustration recipes. And as I say, the people who love them really love them. And so I am doing a book on how to do these illustrated recipes. But it's not really a cookbook. It's a how to ink and watercolour book. There you go. That wasn't too hard to explain. So I'm in the process of writing that. And this summer, when I'm not teaching every week, I am looking forward very much to making that my daily activity. Can't wait. Can't wait. And like I said, it's a huge indulgence for me. And if it's a big indulgence for me, that means it might well turn out to be a big indulgence for you. Because not alone will you be really good at ink and watercolour by the time you get to the end, but you'll be able to apply it to your own illustrated stuff, whether that's birthday cards, Christmas cards, Valentine's cards, should you be so inclined, or whether that is illustrating your own little stories, or indeed your own recipes, or your own little poems. You're going to know what to do. You won't be lost. You'll be able to make these beautiful illustrations, and you'll know how to take them to the next step, whether that means taking them to a printer or a scanner. I'm able to tell you how to do that too. So, okay, here's the thing. The book will be the book, and I'm going to put on a course and they'll go together. So I'm doing a Zoom course, but that's not going to go with the book. The videos that are going to go with the book are going to be actually standalone videos, you know, not Zooms. However, if you'd like to join the Zoom course, there are two things that I'm going to ask you to do. The first one is send me an email, because this is the thing, you see. On the 22nd of April 2024, I am going to be hosting a free class that's going to be an introduction to the course itself. Okay, I have this all very well thought through. So the free class is going to be the exact same as the course, except there's only one class and the course has got five classes. And the free class is 2 hours long, so are each of the five classes. And the free class takes place from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the evening, Irish and UK time. So does the actual 5-day class, which is 2 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern. And I think it might be 11 a.m. is it? Pacific. But you might want to check that. And it is, of course, 8 p.m. in Europe, in France or Spain, or I don't know, CET time zone. So all you have to do to take the free class, and during the free class, you'll quickly work out whether you want to, whether it's worth your shekels to take the actual 5-day class. So the free class, you'll have to send me an email, because I'm actually enjoying doing it this way. First of all, it means that you have to go to the bother of sending me an email rather than just click a link and join a free class. And the reason I want you to make the effort is because I only want people who are prepared to make the effort of sending me an email, because they have more intent, they have more desire to take part in this. And not alone do you have to send me an email, but you have to also give me your first name. You can give me your surname if you want, but you only have to give me your surname, your first name, so that I can address you when I write back to you. And I want you to give me your general location, because I like to know where people are. I like to know where my fans and followers are based. And you could be anywhere in the world. There's no restriction on any place whatsoever. There was a kind of a Russian one, But I have a Russian client, and she is, I don't know what she's doing, but anyway, she's a regular and she's very welcome. She's very welcome. We don't do geopolitical boundaries and sketch with Roisin. No, we don't. It's for everybody. And so if you send me the an email to sketchwithroisin@gmail.com, then I will send you a link to join the free class. Now, I get that not everybody has money to splash out on a self-improvement stroke self-indulgent class, drawing animals. But if you do, if you have a few extra money that you'd like to spend on self-development, then the course itself takes place from the 4th to the 8th of June, so 2024. So that gives you plenty of time to get your bits and pieces all organised and bought and ready. And in the free class, I will tell you what you'll need to bring to the 5-day class. Okay, so am I being clear? 4th to the 8th of June, that's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And it is from 7 o'clock in the evening to 9 o'clock in the evening, with a break in the middle, by the way, so don't worry. Break for a cup of tea. Glass of wine, whatever. So Irish and UK time as well, of course, which is UTC plus one. I know it's confusing, but that's time zones for you. What I always do if I'm not confused, if I'm confused about a time zone, I just go, what time is it in California now? Or wherever the person who's giving the whatever that I'm following is based. So the course itself, how much does it cost? Well, it costs €80, which is very good value, I have to say, because you also get the recording and you get me live in front of you for 2 hours of that week, if you can make the live. And if you can't, you'll get the recording. And if you have 2 hours free each day, just not during the live, then you can do the class and have it done, ready to join in the next day. So you don't have to fall behind. And when I've done these courses before, that's what people have done. So they've kept up, which is nice. Now, there is one small catch. Because these courses have been oversubscribed in the past, the first time I thought it was just fluke, but then I put on another one just after that, and that also was oversubscribed, which I was amazed and delighted about, because we're all delighted when our courses prove to be very popular. This one is going to be released not in a staggered way, but all at once. And that date is going to be the 23rd of April. At 10 p.m. So it's a bit different from the time of the class itself. So you've got your free class on the 22nd of April, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, Irish stroke UK time. And then we've got the class available to purchase on the 23rd of April, 10 p.m. Irish stroke UK time. And the reason I chose 10 p.m. is because this one is one that I am anticipating a little bit of a stampede because of the oversubscribed situation I've had in the past. Okay, so I want to give everyone a fair crack at it, and it'll go on sale at 10 p.m. And the reason I chose that time is because that means that should you be in Australia, you will be able to access it. It'll be 8 in the morning in Sydney. I did my homework, you know. It will be 6 in the morning in Perth. Didn't even know there was two time zones in Australia. It will be 2 o'clock in the afternoon in California. And it will be 5 o'clock in the evening in New York. And I don't know all the other time zones, but you can work them out from that. You'll know one of those, I'll warrant. And there you go. And there are a limited number of places. Like I said, they were oversubscribed. Couldn't believe it. Was really surprised last summer when I put on a similar kind of a deal. Now, the only difference was last summer I put them on for an hour and a half, and it turned out not to be quite long enough. And I could have put this one on for 2.5 hours, but you know what? I decided to do 2 hours, and I'm going to ask you to allow for a little bit of class time overrun. So we're not going to stick religiously to the 2 hours. It's not going to be under, but it might go over a little bit. And there will be time for a small break in the middle. And in it, what are we going to do in that week-long class? You're going to do a recipe, an illustrated animal recipe. It's going to be a native Irish animal. All my entire book is going to be native Irish animals. The only criteria that they have to satisfy is that I've seen one in the wild, which is pretty much all the animals. I've seen a badger. Where do I start? Oh, I haven't seen a whale in Ireland, in Irish waters. And I think there might be a whale cooking somewhere at some stage in the recipe book. And I haven't seen a puffin, but that's because they live off some island down in Waterford or Cork or somewhere. And I haven't gone, but I really want to go. I haven't seen a puffin. I'll go through my list. Hold on. These are the animals that are going to be. Sorry about the shuffly noises. Wait now. Here we go. Okay, buckle in, folks. I'm going to read through them quite quickly. These are the animals that I'm anticipating are going to be in my book. And it'll give you a nice idea of the native wildlife population that is in Ireland. Heron, squirrel, squirrels twice. I don't know why it's squirrel twice. Heron, swan, stoat, pine marten, fox, hedgehog, hare, wasp, bee, badger, pheasant, mouse, rat, bat, cormorant, otter, porpoise, deer, red, basking shark, lizard, puffin, seals, pygmy shrew, whales, dolphins, sandpipers, oyster catchers, snail, owl, falcon, sparrowhawk, pike. Don't know why I got a pike there. I've never seen a pike. Frog, natterjack toad. Haven't seen a natterjack toad either. I think they only live in County Kerry. Rabbit, slug, dragonfly, ladybird, seagull, spider, moth, butterfly, earthworm, diving beetle. Kind of reaching here, haven't I? Slow worm, gannet, Irish wolfhound. Irish wolfhound is actually native to Ireland. Isn't that amazing? I thought it'd be like, you know, 17th century, but no, it's been around since like the medieval time. Not medieval times. It's been around like since the 6th or 7th century, 5th. So I'm definitely putting an Irish wolfhound in. I am. Irish setter arrived a bit later, but Irish wolfhound's been there since the very beginning, so they're being included. So my criteria for them being a native Irish animal, pheasants were also introduced, but pheasants feel native. They do. I see pheasants all the time around the fields where I live. Okay. I think you've got the idea. On to the next bit and some news about my sketch pocket. My sketch pocket. Well, sadly, there's not a huge amount to tell you. I don't know if I recorded a podcast in the time that I started making it. I think I probably have. Well, I'll give you a quick update. In case you don't know, my sketch pocket is a bag for sketchers that I designed because I was frustrated in sketching everywhere. As I've mentioned, I like to sketch everywhere. And not alone do I like to sketch sitting down, but sometimes I like to sketch standing up. And it's a bit of a problem because you need to be able to access everything with one hand without having to bend down when you're sketching. It all has to happen very immediately. And there have been a lot of innovations to try and get around this problem, but it isn't an easy one to solve. Well, actually, in the end, I found it quite easy. I designed a bag so that it's got all kinds of little slots and elastic bands and stuff like that to hold in all the bits and pieces that you might like to use. It's actually very simple, but it's very nice. It's very nice. And it fits an A5 bag, sketchbook, sorry. It fits an A5 sketchbook and it fits an A6 sketchbook. It wasn't going to fit an A5 sketchbook, but then I realised that it'd be a shame to not be able to bring that size for a small matter of making it a bit bigger. It is made with my branded fabric, which is a lovely linen cotton canvas. But then I decided that it was important that it would be a little bit weatherproof and waterproof. So I didn't want to use leather. Not really because leather's expensive, but because I didn't want to use an animal product. I'm not a vegan or even a vegetarian, but I just didn't want to be directly responsible. That sounds bad because like eating meat, you are directly responsible for the suffering of animals because I love animals. But it felt like too big of a step to use leather for the bags. Even though I buy leather bags, I love leather. I wear leather. Honestly, I'm such a hypocrite. But I also don't like the apparently the leather industry is very noxious and it does dreadful things to the environment. Again, I use it. You see, look, this is the essence of a hypocrite, isn't it? Happy to use or get the benefit of a product when you don't have to do it yourself. Really? That is just such hypocrisy. So I decided, because of this hypocrisy, I decided to look into alternative leathers. When you see vegan leather, you think, yeah, right, that's just another word for synthetic. And it usually is. And I also didn't want to be using a fake leather that was made out of petroleum products. And I said to myself, I bet you there are other leather products, leather alternatives available these days made out of plants. And lo and behold, it turned out there are. There are plenty. And what else was I going to say about vegan leather? There was something, I can't remember. Anyway, I looked up, I know what I was going to say. I had had the Etcher field case sent to me by the good people at Etcher back in 2015. And because it was made of a vinyl leather, it looks, I have to say, the same on the outside now as it did when I got it. And it's been everywhere. It's been on wet street surfaces and fallen into puddles and I don't know where for the last 9 years. Wow, 9 years. So that's why I decided to use a leather alternative for the exterior of my sketch pocket. And I looked up all kinds of plant-based leathers. I looked up mushroom leather, which is amazing stuff. But the ones I liked aren't accessible to the public. And the other ones I liked were, I can't remember. I think they were in too early a stage of development and it wasn't available to the public. Then I looked up apple leather, and that was really nice. I looked up lemon peel leather. Imagine if it smelled a lemon, that'd be lovely. I looked up barley leather, and I looked up mushroom. What else? There was something else that I really liked. Oh, coconut leather was really nice. That was really nice. But then I came across cactus leather, and cactus leather is just wonderful. Not alone is it available to the public, but the it's grown, the cactuses for the leather are grown in Mexico and they don't require watering. Isn't that amazing? Cactuses are just amazing. They don't require watering. They don't require fertilizing, as far as I know. And they just are happy to just grow there all by themselves in the hot sun of Mexico, all prickly and happy. And I was even thinking of calling my sketch pocket a prickly pocket. But my mum thought that was dumb. And I had another cool name for it, but I can't remember what it was. So it's still the sketch pocket, I'm happy to say. So there's a company that produces cactus leather, and it's called Deserto. And it's not Deserto like D-E-S-E-R-T-O. They've put two S's. I don't know why. Maybe Deserto with one S wasn't available. But anyway, it's Deserto. And the reason I'm giving it a funny accent is because they have partnered with a factory in Italy that does the manufacturing of the, does the processing of the cactus. Or maybe they process it in Mexico and then have it in their base in, I think it's in Milan. I mean, Milan is the fashion capital, so I think that's kind of why they've gone to Milan. So you guys at Deserto, correct me if I'm wrong about that, but I think so. Anyway, I've been in touch with the factory in Milan and they're very nice. And they've sent me a bunch of samples and I've chosen my cactus leather. It's divine. It's this beautiful, imagine the most gorgeous black leather jacket in the most supple of gorgeous black leather, or a beautiful handbag made in the most beautiful, supple, soft black leather. Well, that's what I'm using. That's what I'm using. So I'm really excited about that. And I am. It is a bit expensive, but, you know, I think it's worth it. I think, you know, you get what you pay for. And this is going to be a product that doesn't harm the environment, is, you know, made out of good stuff. Doesn't prickle you. Don't worry. It won't be prickly. It's the most gorgeous substance. I tell you, if you saw the samples, I bought a little bag of samples from the factory in Milan. And each one is as lovely as the others. Well, there was a couple I wasn't crazy about, but there was a big, huge bunch of samples. And I chose my colour. And they're all going to be black. I'm kind of like the green one, to be honest. And one of my colours for my brands is green. So, do you know what? I went with black because I thought it'd be more versatile. Like, if you're trying to style an outfit, you might not want your green one. Then again, like, it is a sludgy green. It does look like as if you basically pulped a cactus. That is the colour. So, I mean, I like that colour. I love it. Maybe I should just go ahead. I don't know. Maybe I'll make a limited edition of the khaki coloured ones, the cactus colour ones. So there you go. So that's the situation. And where I'm at the moment is I'm waiting for the second sample to come back from the factory. The first sample was well sewn, but it needed a little bit of tweaking. We made a couple of design changes. And when I say we, I'm working with a fantastic industrial designer up in Belfast, and he's just the best. So So that's where I'm working. That's where I'm at the moment. And I must give them a nudge, the Belfast guys, just to see where we're at. And I had to kind of like redesign my logo, had to be turned into a vector. So if you know what that means, fantastic. I kind of don't really know what that means, but I know that my funny little hand-drawn logo had to be vectorized. I think it just means it's easier to reproduce and print and all that kind of stuff. So the sketch pockets are going to come filled with goodies. So they're going to come filled with an A6 sketchbook, and you'll have your choice of the 200 gram or the 250 gram. I think, I don't know if I'll give you a choice actually. I might just fill it with the good one or the 200 one. They're both good. They're both very good. I don't know. See how that one goes. I haven't decided. You'll get your sketchbook. You'll get your box of paints, your box of watercolours from the wonderful Roman Schmal, because I love working with him and his paints are 100% amazing. I don't use any other brands. Who else will? It's going to have a magnetic clip to hold your pages down. Two magnetic clips, because I don't want to be stingy, to hold your pages down and attach your sketchbook, your paint box too, so that you can sketch standing up without fear of your paint box falling off. It's going to come with two little brushes for water, so that you can fill the handle with water and then work away. Two because it's easier to change colour if you've got two different water brushes. Plus it gives you more water, doesn't it? It's going to come with a white gel pen for your mistakes. It's going to come with a hopefully sample of ink. I need to give my ink supplier a nudge and see is he happy to give me samples. Yes, give. So because I know once you try the ink of Diatramentis, you won't want to get any other ink from anyone because it's brilliant. So hopefully he'll agree with me that it's a kind of a marketing thing and he'll just give me bottles of ink. Hopefully. And then I'm going to source a Fude pen for you as well, because there's not a lot of drawing you can do if you haven't got your pen sorted out. So that's kind of on me, isn't it, to sort it out. And other than that, that's it. That's what you'll get. Is there anything I've forgotten? I don't think so. There is a space in the back for your bank cards or your transport card, you know, your metro card or whatever it is. And there's a space at the back for a collapsible water container. I'm thinking of including one of those as well, because I have them and I might as well just pop it in. So it's going to be the most beautiful gift for yourself or for your loved one. It's going to be a really special gift. You're going to love them. Guys, I'm so excited. I'm so excited, and I will be able to get a pre-order going. They're not going to be a huge number available for the first little while. Because I'm certainly not going to go ordering 1,000 of these from the factory, because I just don't know what the demand is like. I kind of do know, because I keep getting messages from randomers all the time saying, when's your sketch pocket going to be ready? So I do anticipate quite a lot of interest, but they're not going to be your budget sketching bag. So you never know, that might not suit everybody. But I'm hoping that people will see the value that it brings to their lives, and the fact that it'll get them sketching way more and with the best materials, because I'm choosing them. One day I want to open a factory making sketchbooks, sketching pens, white gel pens, watercolour paints, ink. But I don't think it's possible to open such a factory because, you know, you'd need, well, you know, I don't have to tell you what you'd need. So there you go, guys. Until I create my own factory making all those things, the best I can come up with is the bag. And I have sourced for you all the little bits and pieces that go inside. And my mother says, Roisin, supply the bag empty as well for people who have all the bits and pieces inside already. I said, no, Mum, I won't. First of all, everything I supply is either consumable, like the paper, like the paints. Pens aren't really consumable, but you know, it's only a pen. Everybody needs another pen. And the ink is consumable. So now the magnetic clips aren't. I have the same ones since I was first given to them by my dear friend Dougie back in 2016. And I have the same ones now. The same ones he gave me as a gift, I have them now. He's so sweet. He actually sent them to me in the post, you know. He's such a nice man. So there you go. Those aren't consumable, but you know, trust me, you need them. And I can't think of anything else. And of course, your paper, you'll go through that. So you will. Because the idea is that you'll be sketching loads and having loads of good times. Okay, you get the idea. Sketch pocket a-coming. So I'm very excited about that. And yeah, I hope you will be too. I said during this episode that things have changed, and I don't think I made myself clear enough about that. I just wanted to really say that things have changed in the sense that anything you achieve nowadays, you do it by yourself. You don't have to ask permission from anyone, from agents, from publishers, from anyone. You can just do it yourself. You can publish your own book. I know that's been the case for a good while, but I think it's got so much better now. And in fairness, I have to be honest, if it wasn't for the fact that I had already published a few books, then I wouldn't know who to go to. I just wouldn't know how to find a good designer and how to find a decent person to print the books, do you know? Yeah, I mean, the fact that I have an editing suite in my iPhone, I use Splice to do all my videos, and I have all the little bits of equipment I need. They didn't set me back a great deal of money. I have a couple of really, you know, bits and pieces that are good, like my lights for my studio and so on. But really and truly, you don't have to spend a lot of money, and you don't have to have a lot of skills to get out there to broadcast to the world. Like, this podcast is a good example. I know I'm a bit muffled at times, but on the whole, it's pretty good quality, I think. So there you go, guys. Oh, and last thing before I go, please, if you do contact me about the free class, because you've heard about it here on the podcast, would you be so good as to just write, "I heard about it through the podcast," in the email? Okay, that's it. Well, that brings us to an end, sadly, of another episode of Sketch Therapist. I hope that you have enjoyed this week's episode. It's probably this month's episode, let's face it. I'll tell you, I stopped doing Sketch Therapist, the podcast, when I threw myself wholeheartedly into YouTube. So if you do like what I do and you need to get your fix, well then do subscribe to my YouTube channel, because I do post a video there at least once a week, and there have been 135 videos. Imagine that, put up since I started doing it in earnest last January year. And I am growing really fast, which makes me very happy, because we all like to think that we're reaching people. So I would love it if you joined my burgeoning list of subscribers and people who enjoy my videos, because it always makes me happy to read your comments and to know that you're watching it and enjoying it. It means a lot to me. So do come and join me over there. It's just Roisin Curie is the name of my channel, like everything else I do. That's about it, guys. I thank you for listening, and I would love to hear your thoughts. So send me an email to say whatever you like. sketchwithroisin@gmail.com. Say whatever you like, and definitely put your name down for the taster class on the 22nd of April, because it's only been up since yesterday, I think, was it? I think it was yesterday. And it's already half full. So do, and it's not happening for another 2 weeks. So definitely don't hang around too long. I know free is free. Everybody loves doing something free, but still, do put your name down, and it will be live, but you will have 24 hours to watch it before the course itself opens. So if you get around to watching it in that 24 hours, you'll have a good idea whether or not you want to take part in the course. All right, my dears, thanks so much for listening once again, and I look forward to next time. And remember, happy sketching.